Join us for a night of amazing local sounds at 769 East Hastings, the Astoria, on Wednesday, July 1st.
Welcome back to the Arts Report on CITR 101.9 FM. But before I go on with the Arts Report, I must mention that there is a secret track included with this Life After Radio episode, which can be found when you go to Sarah's website. That's www.lifeafterradio.ca. The secret track includes a bunch of very enjoyable tidbits that were not included in the show itself. And so I would encourage you all to download it, stream it, or just go and check it out. Check out Sarah Buchanan's wonderful podcast. This is the last episode I will be airing in the near future on the Arts Report. But again, Sarah Buchanan's Life After Radio is one of those must-listen-tos that is produced here completely by volunteer efforts in Vancouver, and it's free for all of you to download. So get out there, download it, and get to it. Thanks again to Sarah Buchanan. All right, and that brings us to the end of another fantastic edition of the Arts Report on CITR 101.9 FM. I'm going to close the show today with an amazing new track from possibly one of my favorite Canadian bands. They're called Reverie Sound Review, and they're stationed out of Calgary, Alberta, the hometown of my brother, Trevor, and the hometown of many, hopefully, listeners of the Arts Report here on CITR 101.9 FM. Their last album was released probably 5 years ago, if not more, and the band members include Bryce Gracie, Patrick Walls, Mark DePap, JM, and Lisa Lobsinger, who has toured with Broken Social Scene, among other people. But their new album was released on June 23rd by Boomba Records. And this track I'm going to leave you with today is called An Anniversary Away, because really it has been an anniversary away from Reverie Sound Review, at least for me. But I do hope to see a lot more coming out of this wonderful band in the very near future. And I hope they'll be on the tour circuit somewhere this summer so I can catch up with them at some point in time. Thanks to all of you for tuning in once again, faithful listeners to the Arts Report. My name is Tracy Fuller. And if you have anything you want to throw on my schedule, just reach out and touch me at arts@citr.ca. All right. Have a great afternoon. I'll be back in this chair in person next week, shocking, with a special Canada Day show. So until then, take care of yourselves. Keep on listening to CITR 101.9 FM, and I will see you very, very, very soon.
Sturgeon. Jackfish and walleye circle like clouds as he strains the silt floor of his pool, a lost lure in his lip, five of diamonds, river runt, lazy Ike, or a simple spoon feeding a slow disease of rust through his body's quiet armor. Kin to caviar, he's an oily mudfish, inedible, indelible, ancient grunt of sea in a warm prairie river, prehistory, a third eye in his head. He rests, and time passes as water and sand through the long throat of him, in a hiss as thoughts of food. We take our gilts to his valley and dump them in, give him quicksilver to corrode his fins, weed killer, gas oil mix, wrap him in poison arms, our bottom feeder, sin eater. On an afternoon mean as a hook, we hauled him up to his nightmare of us, and laughed at his ugliness, soft sucker mouth opening, closing on air that must have felt like ground glass, left him to die with disdain for what he could not consume. And when he began to heave and thrash over yards of rock to the water's edge and unbelievably in, we couldn't hold him though we were teenaged and bigger than everything, could not contain the old current he had for a mind its pull, and his body a muscle called river, called spawn. Good evening. It's 6 p.m. It's Wednesday. I'm Julie Peters, and you're listening to Audio Text on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. I'm actually away right now, so I can't give the usual listings that I would normally give at the beginning of each of my shows. But if you're interested in what's going on around the city, I would recommend going to either thestrait.com. They have really good listings online there that they update regularly. And VancouverPoetryHouse.com also has some great things that are going on with the community around the city. So if you're interested, you can go to those two websites. That's usually where I get most of my information, as well as the wonderful resource of the Facebook. So, coming up on the show today, I'm going to have a little bit of spoken word recordings for you by Chris Gilpin and Francis Arevalo. Chris Gilpin is a poet who's been working in the Vancouver community for quite a while. He's got quite a few accolades to his name, too many to list here at the moment, but really good to keep idea to keep your eye out for him and go and see him performing live if you can. Daniel Mark Patterson is a poet that I did an interview with because he has a chapbook, his very first chapbook coming out very soon. It's now June, so I'm not sure when exactly that's going to be, but do keep your eye out for Daniel Mark Patterson's launch, which should be a pretty good time. And his chapbook should be pretty exciting. He'll be selling it for $5 to $10, which isn't too much cash if you think about the value of the poetry you're going to be getting. Francis Arevalo is another emerging poet on the scene. He's quite young, and he's incredibly talented. So he's a great name to watch out for as well. So I have a recording of his. And later in the show, we'll be getting back to some of Karen Solly's poetry. Karen Solly's poem Sturgeon is the one that I read at the very beginning of the show. I quite like that one because it's got kind of an environmental bent to it. I like how she negotiates talking about humans interacting with non-humans. I find that topic a really interesting one. She's got a lot of really interesting stuff about physics and illness and all kinds of weird stuff that you wouldn't think would normally be in poetry. So I'll be coming back to that at the very end of the show, but coming up right away, the linguistic stylings of Chris Gilpin.
To measure the health than drugs, trying to buy a hair crimper and some scrunchies, while everyone looks the other way, except for the cashier who looks straight through you. Sweet, noble Sasquatch, contempt is too easy. Come back to me. I won't apologize for the time I called your sister abominable. With their ski hill floodlights, please set a forest fire near Whistler if you feel the same. I have bicycled down countless alleyways trying to decipher the calligraphy in the concrete for directions to your Church of the Invisible. Bring me your shabby Bible with its tissue thin pages. I will build us a home. I worry, though. I worry that you're right here, and I'm just not looking quietly enough to see you. I'm like the backseat brat on a cross-country drive, always asking, are we there, Eddie? Are we there, Eddie? Without ever looking out the window. Dear Sasquatch, I have no address for you, so I'm reading this open letter at open mics. I know it will reach you eventually. You're the kind of creature who comes to events like these and sits in the corner writing confessional poetry. Sasquatch, if you're here, please stand up and tell us your story.
Yeah!
Next up, Francis Arevalo.
Bless you. Don't forget to write, you say. Lately, I've been hating airplanes. The way they teach people to fly, but they teach people to fly into the sun. But we like the sun. Picture us putting our toes in the sand. Summer tapping gently on our shoulders, calling us to test the almost warm water. I watch you flirt with the breeze. You dance that dance. We sing nostalgic 90s pop tunes off tune and often. You watch me do whatever it is that you like to watch me do. We do things people don't and no one sees, and only we know, but we're the furthest thing from being lonely. And the sun is blinding. Its rays come down like fingertips. They caress your goosebumps as if they were braille. We converse in body language and laughter, and the sun cannot comprehend. We exchange gelato-flavored smiles. You take my hand, we run. With our palms for solar panels, we convert sunshine into long nights. Trembling, we guess the future. Well, I know I do, and I admit I'm scared. I'm scared to say, let us hold each other as if we're courageous today, but scared of tomorrow. But you soothe me. Make a beat, skip my heart, pretend my lungs were trampolines and make monkey bars of my rib cage, but you still share your slow heartbeat with me. Well, I dislike airplanes. And when I miss you, I keep busy, so I don't think about you on purpose. Sometimes to the point where conflict is all I have to know I've got a good plot line to ruin. And in this dry desert of bed sheets, I get thirsty sometimes, and ink is my freshwater ocean, and the water is never warm enough. And I toss uncertainty, I turn, hoping my pillow would grow eyes and thighs and hips and the lips I'd have for lullabies I imagine we kiss. As if every time we were new to this, and we were something non-poets would write long poems about, because we're far from perfect, but we try. I imagine we kiss, wishing I was ambidextrous so I could hold you better. And when your lips touch mine, I need to write two at a time. And on these nights, my tea tastes like 3 a.m. and the occasional bathrobe, half a slice of two humongous apple pie. And don't forget to write. You remind me, I say, I never do. I'm here and you're somewhere, a place where the same sun touches you. I'm taking off my shirt, I'm half naked, I've got my toes in the sand, hoping it still holds your hand, for summer's fall is winter's spring, and summer taps again, gently on our shoulders, and it's nice having sandy feet. Thank you.
I'm Peter Mansbridge, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
You just heard from Chris Gilpin and Francis Arevalo. Next up, my interview with Daniel Mark Patterson.
So, Daniel, you are just finishing, or you're in the process of finishing your very first chapbook. How's that process been for you?
It's been interesting. I had, like, no clue what was happening with it for a long time. I've been asking around. It's just a matter of putting the jigsaw pieces together. And through the help of good friends, I think we're just about ready to go on it. So.
Great. And what made you want to do a chapbook? What was the turning point there?
Honestly, it's about 10 years overdue. I kind of fell into a black hole. In my 20s, I stopped writing. I got away from stuff. I just broke back and got to the kind of poetic community again 6 months ago. I just decided, you know, it's time. I got stuff I got to put out there. I think there's people that would like to hear it.
And were you writing in Vancouver before you stopped?
Yeah. I mean, I've mostly lived around Vancouver after moving here when I was a kid. I mean, I'm originally from the States, but mostly I've been Vancouver, like, all around my life, so haven't really had the opportunity to travel. Of course, if I became hugely successful off this chapbook, I would certainly do that.
And how has the Vancouver Poetry Slam figured into your rise as a writer?
It's interesting. I mean, it's been helpful in many ways. It's given me a platform to show some of my longer pieces, that type of stuff. At the same time, there is a certain, I guess you would say, restrictions on yourself as well. Like, you have to have pieces generally about 3 minutes. You don't want it to be too short, too long. You got to worry about time penalties, too short. The audience really can't get into it as much. So it's I'm excited about this chapbook for the reason that it shows that not only do I have all these good longer pieces, but I have a lot of shorter pieces like haikus, tankas, a few form pieces with set structures that I want to show people that I'm much more than just a slam poet, that, you know, I have a lot more to offer.
And what got you writing again after your long break?
I just realized that, you know, I was not happy in, like, my 20s, you know, going through a lot of, like, weird relationships, just doing a lot of destructive things, you know, it's like falling in and out of love with a lot of different people and just being really unhappy with who I was. And I just realized within the last year or two that, you know, I needed to get back into what it was that, you know, inspired me, you know, gave me a purpose with what I was doing. I think it's been said to me that, you know, one of the scariest things for a male is not having a purpose in their life, so. So definitely, you know, it's like I feel like I have a purpose again. I feel like I'm completely breaking back out into who I am. It's a fabulous thing.
So what does that purpose translate into for you? Is it expressing who you are and how you feel? Is it reaching out to a community? What is it about the kind of writing that you do that you find purposeful?
Well, I like to do lots of different things. I mean, it's like I read a lot of funny pieces at the slam. It seems like a lot of times I do better with that. But I also have like darker pieces as well. Issues of like abuse growing up, that type of thing. I'm not sure how much I really want to get into it. I mean, it's just because you have to pick up my chapbook in order to see that. But mainly, it's like I think. I like to make people laugh. I also like people to look at truth, even if it's a scary thing. You know, and say it's like, okay, it's all right. You know, there are people that are putting themselves out there that have gone through this type of thing. And, you know, it's like they're putting their voice out there. I should do the same thing. I mean, we all have stories to tell. Ideas behind the way we live our life. I mean, I could certainly even just do a poem about this interview. It's kind of a surreal experience.
Cool, you should write that right now and just read it for me.
A little bit of insta poetry.
So when you do sit down to write these various types of poems, what is your process like? How does a poem get born for you?
Very often I find, a lot of times I just start writing, and I'll take it from like the point of view of where I am right now. Sometimes I'll just have a line that comes into my head, and I just go from there. Sometimes I just feel like I have to write something, and I and I just see what comes out. So it's very often I don't even know what the poem is going to be about until I finish it, and then sometimes I don't even know when I'm finished the first draft what the poem's about. Then I got to go waiting back in and actually do a little bit of exploring, and then you know you flesh it out, and it's kind of a little you have your little adventure. Eventually, you come up with something half decent, or that's the goal anyway.
So what's the title of your upcoming chapbook?
Confessions of a Modern Day Penguin.
What's the story behind it?
Well, due to various experiences, many times in my life, I've kind of felt like, I'm just a little bit out of place. And if you look at a penguin, just the way the penguin walks, the way the penguin moves, it's a bird that can't even fly. I mean, it doesn't really get along that well in many different environments. So it's kind of just the whole, it's a whole tongue-in-cheek thing of maybe just being a little bit out of place, you know, in society and like trying to find your way. That's what it's about, which I feel I'm doing. But you know, it's all about the struggle to do that.
So can we hear one of the pieces?
Absolutely. I got this new piece I've been wanting to do for a while, so. All right, it's called Snake Skin. I recall nitroglycerin love sweats, summer nights entangled, laughter tinkling, blood pulsing beneath our palms, our hearts pounding, flutter quick, first crush like, yet deeper. Your beauty, yes, I say beauty, more pronounced for your rare vulnerability. Your cold, coiled cocoon, perpetually snake-like, shedding, always changing. How many others pierce these sharp scales to the soft heart within? I was the first. Naive, romantic thinking? Yes. 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 You were the first, though. The first to see me with heart's eyes as we lay entwined, mouth to my mouth, hand to my cock, etc., and vice versa. To see my young man body emotionally embroiled in never-ending adolescence, still the boy, unable to accept first love with a man. You played Jesus. I was St. Peter. Before the cock crows twice, you will deny me thrice. And I did deny you, repeatedly. Serpent, snake, skin, man. Where did my taut shame conspire to drive you? In memory, ethereal. Time, distance, action, world melts into you.
That was beautiful. Thank you.
No problems.
And thanks for talking to CITR today.
I'm happy to do it anytime.
How long do you think it'll be before I can do the show?
You're starting tonight.
We'll do it live!
If you talk to the average teenager of today and you ask them what it is about rock and roll music that they like, the first thing they'll say is the beat, the beat, the beat.
The Biltmore Cabaret at 395 Kingsway is Vancouver's newest live showroom devoted to independent music of all genres.
But a lot of these groups are nothing but pure carnality and fleshly and so forth. But
check out BiltmoreCabaret.com for upcoming show info and DJ nights.
You're pretty happy with the way you look and the attitude you've got, are you?
I had to play that ad for my dear friend Christina because I think she, among all people, would recognize that the very quote from the very beginning is from Showgirls, which is a really great film, a classic of our time, if you will. If you've ever seen it, you'll know what I'm talking about. So, as we go forward, I'm going to be reading some poetry for you. As I said before, at the beginning of the show, Karen Solly is my selected Canadian poet for today. She's from the Prairies. This particular book is published by Brick Books. It's called Short Haul Engine. And I think that she has a really interesting sort of way of looking at the world, which includes the environment, physics, and the unique sort of experience of growing up in the Canadian prairies. So I'll read a few poems of this for you, and you can see what you think of it. This next one is called Action at a Distance. That one body may act upon another at a distance through a vacuum without the mediation of anything else is to me so great an absurdity that I believe no man who has in philosophical matters a competent faculty for thinking can ever fall into it. Sir Isaac Newton. Before this country of seminars, its paranoid GNP, a flat earth theory of love affairs, I lay in a leafy grove of windbreak, gated by lilac, redolent with ants in my hair, and considered the bodies of men, gravity of collarbone and hip. Amid the plushness of bees, you could say, I considered you, even then hiding from a convergence of lovers in the pool halls of the Midwest. Sometime I may recall a brightness to that day, though I suppose the sky divulged its usual kingbirds, tyrant flycatchers, dolting through standard variants of blue. I don't believe in fate, but did then, having already drowned the kitten in the rain barrel. I can't speak to most of what you have done. The Orphics taught when space and chaos, time's twins, first put delinquent heads together, the planet split like a watery fruit. Fish walked blinking out of pools on pale silk legs. Scientists still gauge forces between sun and earth that touch bodies simultaneously and intimately as water. Perhaps they can explain the unconscious voodoo of your eye, how that look rode north on a pilot wave through the overbuilt world to prick me, indolent beneath centenary ash. I woke to an intolerable reality of Patsy Montana yodeling for her lost cowboy through dishcloths graying in the open window. Red-eyed leghorns pecking the yard to dust around me, the wind-up toy of innocence finally winding down. I could grow, plump as a finch, in branches warm as arms, believing I had always lived with your phantom hand around my heart. Panic is a wire singing in air. How can I drop my bucket racketing down a dry well and draw love or God like cool water up? We met, that's all. If coincidence has a law, it's lonely. Meteorology. A collision of fronts. Two thick systems locked in downdraft, forcing birds to the ground. My knees hurt after we talk, and that kiss left me a flower of concussion. Heat prostration, his body a thunderhead. My barometer is falling. Someone bring me a julep. I was 30 before I realized their bourbon. How women of a certain age will sit together on the porch, drink, and watch funnel clouds pass, breath smelling of mint. We fucked in his car, and I will never drive again, remembering instead what it's like to be young, a passenger carried into the eye of it. Ozone and gasoline, fern smell, rain of hands, a night bloomer, narcissus, the old Ford's doors thrown wide, and in a whole storm pouring in. Days in. He's not participating in the conference. No irony in the sound of his door closing. True fit of right angles, metal tongue clicking home. A neat fact in the space around it. Then through 2 inches of spitboard and paint, a moment of bed springs, as if he has lain without removing his shoes. Tomorrow she will perform a theory so dense it straightens her hair. Laptops elaborate up and down the hall. The air is an electric fur. Why hasn't he moved? Everywhere, crisis in the humanities, and she is listening for the rustle of a stranger undressing. He wakes to footsteps. They're heavier now, almost clumsy. One bottle unpacked from a paper sack thuds a broad heel on cherry veneer. Whiskey, she guesses. Strange off-ramp birds begin to sing. He pours, picks up the phone. After a while, sets it down. 3 times. They could lie with hands in each other's hair but for the wall. At the core of all size is a name, a stone from the body's last lost home. She wonders why the weight of a man sobbing into morning frightens her when she has learned to travel light, all she carries rolled tight and small. Hangover. Yesterday left wanting. Night fell, a blank. I edged toward you at the old hotel bar, padded in disaster movie extras, going down with their ships. The brain floods easily, that old engine. Later is a lullaby of rain scraping paint from the streets. Show me again how to take you home. I have a mouth full of gasoline. What was I saying? Something about birds needling through trees, the year's first wasps drilling into the eaves. Last night, as plants poisoned the air under the moon, I sold you a possibility of days on the Oregon coast, perfect as swift eggs insinuated Tennessee in a wet reverb, Nashville slapback, read your palm, tracing fragrant mesquite trails, arching into purple arroyos of the Sangre de Cristos. Now the day is explicit. Swallows fall in shrieks from great heights. My head is a drawer full of spoons. No Faulkner heroine this afternoon with flowered house dress. Bourbon, no Southern Belle. My accent makes Lutheran hymns from what we've said of spring. It's drug white sea and sky, horizon briefly gone, rethought, and the wind full of blooms. Design flaw. The city settles into its grid and gears, repeats through a mouthful of wheels the distance from my house to yours. Between them, men and women are trying to be happy, and it's working, a beautiful machine of a day. Bees idling smoothly in the plums and children steered along the seawall, sun a sound motor. I lie on my back like a wrench, like the wrong tool for the job or an error in judgment. Considering our contraption, its constant backfiring and exposed wires, the bad shocks, tricky choke, our wild rides among heat and oils of internal combustion, the volatility of bones. Dollhouse. In a box near their bed, the usual junk. Photographs, letters, diaries with broken locks. When they fuck, she slips away to nest like a mouse in this mess, to rehearse the life, edit and revise scenes that do not fit. Who but she can take her self-improvement in hand? Afterward, only sore, she has no memory of it. She is his doll. He runs a finger between her lips and calls her that. It's true, he likes her wide blue eyes, the way she fixes her small mouth and keeps it red. It flatters her when he says, "That's my body, bring it back to bed." She smiles to think of him, positioning her arms, her head, trying to make them stay, and laughs out loud at the smooth place between a doll's legs, knowing exactly how it got that way. So that was just a few poems from Karen Solly's Short Haul Engine. It's just a couple of years old, this book. I think it's 2004 or so. 2002, sorry. She was born in Moose Jaw and grew up on the family farm in southwest Saskatchewan. But I thought those were some really lovely poems. She has a nice way of putting herself in a position of not the heroine. You know, she doesn't use her femininity to kind of seduce or anything. She sort of puts it in a really interesting place of perspective, and I find that really great. So I hope you enjoyed listening to those poems and everything else on the show today. If you do want to get in contact with me, I'm definitely still around. I am still in Vancouver, just doing my yoga training. You can get in contact with me at audiotechcitr@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you, and I will see you next week.
She was underwhelmed, if that's a word. I know it's not, 'cause I looked it up. That's one of the skills that I learned in my school. My young.